How can three be one? Many of us have been taught God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit together form the Trinity. As we read the Bible, we can see all three in evidence. However, as we try to grasp how the three in one work, often the best we can do is imagine them as a team of three. Some believe the members of that team can never be on Earth stage at the same time. The following is a scenario some use to explain the actions of the Trinity. Now note, I don't agree with this scenario, but this is what some people think. God came first. He was primarily in heaven, but came to earth now and then. God then retired to heaven and sent Jesus to earth. Jesus was in close contact with God, but not necessarily one with him. Jesus appeared to have been killed, but came back to life. He then left earth to be with God in heaven. Some time passed and the people on earth were sort of on their own. They tried to help each other out to get through life, and then the Holy Spirit came. And Jesus will come back to earth on some future unknown day. Now, as we try to keep up with who is where and when, we often end up confused. Before we look closer at how the one actually functions as one, let's consider ourselves. Are you three in one? It's quite possible you are. Even more than three persons in one body. How can that be? Well, you might be a child of your parents, a parent to your children, a grandparent of your grandchildren, someone's spouse, and on and on. You are all those people in one body. The fact that you're a parent to a child doesn't mean you leave your body as a child of a parent. No, you are one. You serve in different roles at different times, and you do all of this from one body. The parts of our physical body cannot be separated into their natural state. Unless you have surgery or some other invasive event, your liver is going to remain in the same body as your lungs and your other parts. Each part will perform their function, but together they'll be inseparable in one body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 records Paul's words to explain how the body of Christ has many parts, but is one body. 1 Corinthians 12:12-13 says, for example, the body is one unit and yet has many parts. As all parts form one body, so it is with Christ. By one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. We can recognize the different functions of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But as with the body, they're inseparable. They've always been together. They're together right now. And they shall be together eternally. But hang on here. But I thought the Bible said, wait, you might say. Aren't there specific scriptures that verify God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit were in different places at different times? Well, on a first look, it might appear that way. But let's look closer. John 3:17 records, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Now, if God sent Jesus into the world, wouldn't that mean they're separate? Well, not necessarily. In order to move our physical leg, the brain must send a command through the nerves to the muscles which pull on the bones to move our leg. All those parts are functioning together in one body, and all are working toward the same goal. Well, what about when Jesus was talking to God then? Was he talking to himself? No, he was speaking as one with God and the Holy Spirit. God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit speak as one. Here's an example. Let's consider a person named John Edward Smith. He might be known to his family as John Smith, but after he grew up, he decided to go by Edward Smith. When John's family and John's new friends are together, and John Edward Smith speaks, who is speaking? Both John and Edward are speaking. Are either John or Edward talking to themselves? No, they're speaking as one. And the one person is speaking for the benefit of those listening to him speak. Not only did Jesus say over and over again that he was one with the Father, but God embedded his name into Jesus' full name. Besides being named Jesus, Jesus was also named Emmanuel. The name Emmanuel identified who he was. The name Jesus identified his mission. Matthew 1:23 says, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. Matthew 1:21 says, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." The one was speaking so that those hearing would know how they also could communicate with God. 1 Peter 2:21 says he left you an example so that you could follow in his footsteps. So faith comes from hearing the message, and the message that is heard is what Christ spoke. That's Romans 10:17. And Mark 4:9, then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear." God, Jesus, showed us how to relate to God so that we could experience the joy of being connected in true love. John 17:13, Jesus said, "But I say these things while I'm still in the world so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them." John 17:26 says, "I've made you known to them." This is Jesus talking to God. "I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and I myself may be in them." Jesus was speaking for the benefit of those hearing so that they could hear what they could do just the same as Jesus to communicate with Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit. Now, wait a minute. Didn't Jesus say he had to leave before the Holy Spirit would come? John 16:7 says, "However, I'm telling you the truth. It's good for you that I'm going away. If I don't go away, the Helper won't come to you. But if I go, I'll send him to you." Now, that sounds like Jesus had to disappear. He had to go away. But was it truly go away? Consider this example. Imagine a pot with water in it. We take some of the water out of the pot, we freeze it into ice cubes, and we put it back in the water. The water and the ice were and are one. They're together, but in different forms. Now let's heat the water to boiling. We can't do that without melting the ice. The ice melts into the water. It's still one, but it's changed form. As the water heats up more and more, steam is formed from the water. It's still one, but it's now in yet another form. For the steam to appear, the ice had to melt. The water was one from beginning to end, but it changed forms. And so it is with God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. They are together, but able to change forms to accomplish their goals in the best way. God came to earth as Jesus to fulfill his mission of saving people from their sins. However, it was never his plan to limit himself to just one human body in one specific time and place. After God had accomplished his mission through Jesus, it was time for him to reveal himself through the lives of others who now knew that he lived inside of them. Did Jesus go away? No. His outer covering went away, but he was still very present in the One. The One simply changed form to begin the next part of the mission to change the world. So why would it even matter that we understand God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are one? It matters because that one truth will affect all of how you view God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And it may turn upside down many of the things you always thought you knew about them. Deuteronomy 6:4 says, "The Lord our God, the Lord is one." John 4:26, "Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am He."